This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
On Saturday, I went to get my massage, didn't I? After I had a few back problems last night, so Heidi was going to get her nails done, and she goes, "Oh, that the place I'm going does like massages," and I was like, "Yeah, all right. How much is it?" It was quite good, actually. So I was like, "Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll go."
Actually, funny enough, Kate had a massage on Saturday.
Oh, really?
But we were sat having coffee, lovely, relaxing Saturday, just in the coffee shop. Suddenly remembered.
About halfway through coffee. Last thing you want to do is stress rushing around.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah, you got to hate that.
Left the coffees, ran out of...
Well, it was quite. We were cutting it fine time-wise, actually. But luckily, when we got there, there was a big public car park next to it. It wasn't like a multi-story, it was just big open plan car park. It was in Leamington.
Yeah.
And I went over to pay for a ticket for the car, and there was a queue of like three. And you're like, you know, when you're like, I was 2 minutes late already. And I was like, come on. There's a woman there. She's scratching the side and putting it in. It's just not working. And she's like, oh, you know, and it's almost nauseating because they're like laughing. Oh, it's just not working, is it? I'm just like, oh, isn't it? Yeah, let's get a move on, shall we?
Shall I see if I can help?
I will have a go. So I turn around to look at another machine. There's a queue of like three or four people at that one too. I'm like, there's not that many cars here. Like, this can't be a thing. And the next person tries and they can't, money's not working at all. So we realise, right, let's abandon this machine and join the massive queue at the next one. Three of us go over to the next machine. No one, everyone in there, they can't pay us either. So this long queue, everyone's trying and we're like, oh, there's another one over there, the other side of the car park. So, like, 10 of us now descend to the other side of the car park to use this one machine.
It's a small mob at this point.
Oh, yeah, we're all best friends. We're like a small army. And then we go over to this last cash machine, and that stops working too. And suddenly, out of nowhere, is born a committee of people that they've never met going, what should we do? We're all looking around at each other like brothers in arms, like, well, I suggest we write notes in our windows, we return to our cars... And we just hope for the best, fingers crossed. And it was sort of a, well, I'll leave the car without paying if you leave the car without paying. And then there's like, well, okay, if we all... So I think some woman said, if we all do this together, there's no way they will give us parking tickets. It will be fine. So we had to go back into the car, write a little note and put it on the dashboard. And of course, you know what Hayley's like. She was a little bit like... skeptical that it was going to work, but luckily it did all pay off for us.
So when you came back, there was no tickets?
There was no tickets anywhere. And I sort of missed that committee because I felt we could have taken on the world. Do you know what I mean? We made a very quick decision, very fast.
You were like a mini...
We passed the test.
You were like a mini UN committee.
It felt like a social experiment. Like, there might have been Darren Brown cameras up everywhere going, let's see how the...
Where were you in the pecking order? How did you feel?
I was fairly vocal, actually.
Yeah, quite
I was
high up.
Because
yeah,
I was late, up. I think. I was a bit like...
I mean, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I was general.
I was Chief Parking Commissioner General, yeah. It did get me thinking, actually, because even though it was such a brief encounter, it made me remember things like jury duty, when I did jury duty, because that's an interesting psychological environment where it's unusual. There's 12 of you, there's a leader established, and, you know, whether you're persuaded by other people.
If anybody in the jury's ever met each other before, they can't...
Yeah, you have to say...
Oh, really?
You have to say if you recognise anyone or something like... I can't really remember, but something like that. And it reminded me of my psychology days at school. And I had a love-hate relationship with psychology A-level because it's one of those subjects that was probably one of the most fascinating, but it was the hardest to learn because you had to remember case studies. The exams were a nightmare. I had proper exam hand during those exams. It was horrible. But it's one of those subjects now that, looking back on, I sort of wish I'd embraced a little bit more because it is just so fascinating. After my encounter with the people in the parking environment, I was looking at group conformity because it's really interesting. We all know situations, probably even every day, where you just comply with the majority or you just go along with it. And we've got those friends that are, you know, those friends that when you go out to a party, they sort of molt, they become a bit of a chameleon. They'll sort of adjust to the setting and act in a certain way in order to internalise the environment they are in.
Well, mob mentality is a great example
exactly.
of that,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
where you have a crowd of people individually, they wouldn't do maybe what they're doing, but as soon as you're swept up in a majority,
Yeah.
It's amazing how far you'll go.
Yeah, and I guess that is, yes, mob mentality, but it's also perhaps fear of not fitting in. So perhaps they're scared that if they are completely themselves, that people won't like them as much as they'd want them to like them.
Everybody, she's a witch. Let's go and burn her. Guys.
I don't think she's
guys,
a witch.
Stay with that burning pitchfork. I'm not sure that she is. He's a witch!
Yeah.
Burn him!
You just don't want to get involved,
no,
do
you? Don't, no.
Exactly. I found a fantastic research study here by a guy called Ash, and it was called the Line Study. It was a really famous study about conformity. It's a really simple experiment. They got seven guys in a line sat at a desk, like an exam room, with cards, and there are lines on the cards. Now, there are seven there, but six of them are actors who are in on it. They're plotting against the seventh one.
Right.
Really simple experiment. They are given a card with three lines on, and these lines are next to each other. They all start at the same point, but they finish at a different length. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So, say one of them is like 7 centimetres, the other line's 10 centimetres, and the other one's 13 centimetres. There's no measurement written on there at all. They just appear. And they are then all given a picture of a line to compare next to the lines they already have.
Right.
Follow me?
I'm with you.
The line they're given is the exact same line as one of those three on the card. And it's pretty obvious which one it is. And they did an experiment to see whether if the six other guys said that the two, you know, A and B are the most similar, even though they're clearly not, what would the seventh one say? And 75% of the time, they, even though they could clear as day see that, you know, what the two most similar sized lines are, I mean, a child could probably do that.
Yeah.
Still 73% of those tested got the wrong answer because they wanted to comply with the seven others to their right. That's a mild experiment. Extrapolate that to
society.
Politics, society,
religion,
racism. Oh my God, what an upshot.
Yeah. And there are so many situations where this is evident, no more so than my parents' village. They live in quite a rural, relatively middle-class area. Mm. The village sort of exists around a church in the centre, which is quite a social hub for the village. Now, the majority of people in this village have moved there after having relatively successful careers in a wide variety of industries. There are very, very high-profile lawyers that live there that don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's a member of the Monday Club. They meet on a Tuesday.
That's brilliant. Can't do Mondays. I've got commitments. Can we move it to Tuesday? What, the Monday Club? Yeah.
The Monday Club is a walking club, and
right.
They walk for lunch.
Oh,
and on paper...
Every Tuesday?
Yeah. And on paper... And they meet for a pint one
Sounds
night
like
in the week.
Sounds a great life,
it's
that
great.
Does, yeah.
On paper, they are the X-Men.
Mm.
If you look at their...
Doctors, lawyers, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Some of these guys were
pilot,
international
ex-pilot.
Lawyers, pilots. Just, it's incredible. I mean, a few of them now are, as they get older, unfortunately, you know, Dad says a lot of the time, he's like, people are turning up on Wednesdays. They're going to, he's like,
oh, God.
They're going to the wrong pub.
Yeah.
Like, someone plans a walk and it goes the wrong way. You know, sadly, with age, a few of them are being affected now.
Mm.
But what is really, really interesting about this village effect, and I do think it's a similar thing, is that all of these people are bright individuals that have lived with an eclectic lifestyle in different social and environments.
Mm.
But as you bring them together in this quite secluded environment, they do start to become a bit closed off. And it's so interesting to see how their political views...
Are all the same.
Start to really merge, you know, into anti-immigration, do you know what I mean? Anti-EU, anti-tax for their
really?
Income level. Yeah, and it's really, really interesting as they socialise together, as they spend time together, a lot of their views become very, very similar.
Mm. Yeah, I think...
And I think it's the same thing. It's that it's even if a lot of them... Maybe don't 100% agree with it. If the majority are going... Oh.
To listen to more of this episode and to catch up on all of our shows, Go to FUBARradio.com.